Thankful for our littles going next door and everything. Appreciate all that takes part there. And there's definitely a lot to be in prayer for. And I was going to say, looking forward to the study. It's kind of a harder study tonight. Again, we're going through what we believe in our church constitution. And we're up to, I guess it's number R, letter R tonight, which is abortion. And, you know, one of the things I was looking at this week after abortion, we have missions. And, you know, I told Brandy, I said, I might just skip this and go right on into the next one. Because, you know, some of the topics are deep, they're hard, that kind of thing, you know. But if we sidestep things, that'll never get us where we're supposed to be. It's never good to skim over or pass over what we would think is harder scripture. It's in there for a reason. It's not about making people sad or being discouraged or what have you. But if you look across the nation and you look, not going into all that kind of history as far as the world goes, but you look at it, there's a lot of people that's not settled in their heart about what abortion is and what it actually means. But yet it is settled in the Bible. And it's amazing what God has put in the Bible for us to see and for us to know. And I think sometimes we try to explain it away. We, being people, try to explain things away to fit their narrative or fit what they want to ease their conscience. It never ceases to amaze me how many people are satisfied with somebody telling them what they want to hear, Brother Finley, even if they know it's not the truth. But just hearing it's enough, you know, to ease a conscience or what have you. But just pray for me tonight. And again, I think it's important to look through this. I know some of the most, when I was in law enforcement, some of the most worked up days are when they had the people who would come in and show what abortion actually looks like and what it actually is on the inside and what takes place. They'd have those things set up on Sanford Mall, and my goodness, the students would get worked up on that and start trying to bring in their rights, my rights, women's rights, I mean, all that kind of stuff, and try to justify it that way. It's amazing how people try to justify things, but at the same time can be a little backwards about it. I told Brandy, I said, you know what I'm going to use as an opener tonight? And then she said, what? I said, what did we watch last night? And I said, and she said, Little House on the Prairie, the old one. And I said, yeah. And I said, but what happened? And she's like, oh, yeah. So I'm going to open with this. I mean, just think about it. And then we'll get into this tonight. And of course, we're going to have a time of prayer, much to be in prayer for. But so last night, the episode starts out, and you see this mama dog with her little puppies out there in the barn, and they're nursing. I mean, it's just the sweet kind of thing to see, you know. And of course, being an animal lover, you see that, you're like, oh, how sweet. You know, puppies, they got puppies, you know. And I get excited about that kind of thing. I like it, you know. Well, you know, here comes a fella. Without saying anything, the fella goes to the barn. He has a sack, goes to the barn. He picks up those three puppies, scoops them down in a stack, and out the door he goes in his wagon. And I told Brandy, I said, oh, I said, I don't know if this is good or not. I said, he could be going to Mankato. He might be taking him to the Humane Society down there. I don't know. But I said, this ain't looking good. It ain't looking good at all. And so he gets down the road, and he stops beside of a pond, and I said, this is looking real bad. And he picks up a big old stone, and he drops it down in that sack. And Laura and Mary, they see it, and they're going sideways, and he runs them off. And he tosses that rascal right in the pond. And Brandy, she's hiding her face, you know. I'll pick on her, you know. Hiding her face. It didn't bother me. You know, she's hiding her face and everything. And didn't take long. He rides off in his wagon, and they run, and they jump in that pond, and they pull them out. And guess what? Every one of them lived. So it's a good story. You know, that's a good story there. But, you know, the same crowd that will fight you tooth and nail over those three puppies are the same crowd that will fight and say, my choice. It's my choice. If I want to terminate this, it's my choice. And in whatever way, whatever reconciliation, they try to come up in their mind, because what you'll hear most often is an argument come up, well, what if it's this? What if it's rape? What if it's incest? What if it's something else? You know, they try to make up the what if, when in reality, the majority of it has nothing to do with that. Somebody who made a decision, regrets their decision the next morning, and decides this is what I want to do. And then try to justify it any way that they can in their mind. And I tell you, that's a sad thing that people can justify it that way, because when you look at it, honestly, if somebody gets tired of somebody or feels like they don't want to take care of somebody, they feel like they have the right to do away with that somebody. That's what's happening with an abortion. I mean, that's what's taking place. You know, what happens if older people, younger people, well, I just don't want to take care of this person anymore. You know, it's a sad thing to look at it that way. But again, we're just going through what the Bible says. I think it's important. You know, one of the things we've been doing in our Sunday school class is been looking at what the Bible teaches, and being able to talk through what the Bible teaches. If somebody asks you a question, it's easy for us, if we're not careful, to fall back into feelings, like what feels right. But we should never go back to our feelings. We should always go back to the fact of the Bible, because our human hearts will fail us. You know, that's just how it is. Emotions are a tricky thing. We have them for a reason, and I understand that. But if we're not careful, if we start following our emotion, we'll get away from fact, and it will absolutely lead us astray. There's a lot of emotionalism going on in the name of spiritualism, people wanting to feel something, but it's not the spirit. You know, I've talked to Brandy several times. We just talk about things. You see stuff going on, what have you. You know, you can pick a song off the radio that'll make you feel something. It can make you cry. You know, I'll use this example. There's an old song, Guns N' Roses, old heavy metal song, but it's a slow song, but called Patience. Boy, you can listen to that and say, boy, I need some patience, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Well, it's a good message. Well, here's the thing, it'll make you feel something, but it's not biblical. But you can cry over something, feel something, or whatever. That doesn't mean that it's biblical. You better be very careful in following feeling when you have the fact of what the Bible teaches, honestly. And if we center around what we believe around the Bible, it's going to help us. It'll help us to see things not the way we see them, but see things the way God sees it, because that's His holy word. He gives that to us for a reason. You know, we're born lost. And when we accept Christ, we are adopted into His family, and what He wants us to do is take on His traits. That's why He put all these things in the Bible, things that we can follow. But to get to what our Constitution says here, I'll read this and then I'll pray and we'll get started tonight. But talking about abortion, it says, "We believe that human life begins at conception and that the unborn child is a living human being. Abortion constitutes the unjustified, unexcused taking of unborn life. Abortion is murder. We reject any teaching that abortions of pregnancies due to rape, incest, birth defects, gender selection, birth or population control, or the mental well-being of the mother are acceptable." And then we're going to go into some of those verses, and then I have a little bit other topic to talk about to go along with this tonight that goes along with our Constitution as well, but just not in here. But let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I thank You for Your word. God, never want to take it for granted and not want to skip over things. Lord, I know there's so much more that I don't know and that I don't understand than what I do. But God, I know I'm held accountable for those things that I do know, those things that You've taught us and helped us to see. We're accountable for those things. And Lord, I want to be a good steward of the Bible. Lord, I know we look at finances and things and the importance of being a good steward there, but how much greater a responsibility to be a good steward of Your word, teaching Your doctrine, because doctrine absolutely does matter. God, we want to stay in Your word. We want to learn. We want to grow. I pray that it helps me, helps our congregation, helps each one. Lord, if we're faced with questions from people, that we'd be able to give them the right answer, a biblical answer, not just something that feels right or based on emotion or feeling, God, but we'll do it based on Your word and be right with You. Help me tonight. God, every word that I say, help this message and lesson to be what You would have it to be, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You see different accounts in the Bible, maybe not directly talking about abortion itself, but if you're talking about, if you want to make a case for it, when does life begin? Life begins at conception. You know, anything that has breath and anything that has living cells, it's alive. I don't think that's hard for us to see. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. When I first started studying this, I'm like, they're going to be, I've already heard this. We know this. Let's just skip over it and talk about something else. Well, the next thing's missions, and we absolutely should know about missions as well. But here's the reality of it. If we skip over things thinking everybody knows it, somebody's going to miss something. It's not a bad thing to go through and recount and go through things. I thank God that we have been doing this. It's been good for me. I think it's good for folks wanting to know what we believe and why. This is why. It's easy to tell somebody just do this, but not give them the explanation. But we're not learning if we do it that way. If you find yourself, having questions about things and just wondering about things, and maybe there's a piece of the puzzle over here that's even a completely different topic, but that's a missing piece maybe that you can find and put in, and it puts the whole other pieces of the puzzle together. Helps us see the big picture, and that's what the Bible is to us when we use it as a biblical lens and how it is for our lives. One of the verses that we see, Job 3:16, it said, "Or as an hidden, untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light." And so Job himself, when you go back to the book of Job, remember this, it talks a lot about nature, talks a lot about biology, and probably the first book that was written. It's very, if you want to use the word prehistoric or what have you, I mean, it's an old book in the Bible. You'll hear about Orion in the book of Job. You'll hear about the different behemoths or the mammoth. You'll hear about different ones. I misspeak if I'm not careful, but you'll hear about many different things in nature, and we can learn a lot, just like Brother Nathan was saying, from nature. Just slowing down and looking around, you can see a lot how God set this thing up. In the book of Job, it refers to a lot of these types of things, and it even is referring to here about being born and what it's like as an infant, which never saw light, a child that is alive in the mother's womb that had never seen light, never saw light. That's what he's making reference to. He's going back to going through the misery that he's going through. He's saying, if I had not made it through that, then maybe I wouldn't be going through the misery that I'm going through now. But it makes an account about life in the womb. Psalms 139, 14 through 16 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Mine eyes did see my substance, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, in continuance were fashioned, when I was yet there was none of them," when as yet there was none of them. It's talking about life again, being there in conception. When God creates us, I've said this before, and you'll hear me say it again, but he creates us for a purpose. Our Creator doesn't do anything by mistake, never. Now, there's things that he might do to get our attention that doesn't make sense to us, but that doesn't mean it's a mistake on his part. It's not. It's always to slow things down and teach us things. Now, this is important for you and I to do. You know, I think sometimes what we'll do with people is get impatient. We envision, Brother Archie, the end result based off the Bible, have good intention. We want to see this person like this. But here's the thing. You don't start there. You've got to start where that person is at. That's one thing you'll always find in the Bible is Jesus met people, his disciples, those who had finally learned. They met people where they were at, and they went from there. We don't know what we don't know. We've not experienced things that we've not experienced, and so therefore, if we are to want to move forward with Christ, he's got to meet us where we are and take us from there. Now, it does take a willing person. It takes us being willing to do that. And I believe that is extremely important. But I thank God that he meets us in that way and he does those things for us. Now, what he's talking about here again, you see the psalmist talking here, he's talking about how we are made in the womb. What that's like. Each member. I mean, you slow down, you read it. My substance was not hid from thee. As you're protected in the womb, God is watching over our young ones in the womb as they're being created, being perfected, being made and placed together. And it also says here, "and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance." See it as it was growing and coming together. Yet being imperfect, again, not fully formed, everything not being ready to be born just yet, but not being imperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written. That means God had a plan. He wrote it out. I thought about it like this today, studying over this. It's hard to encapsulate everything and understand everything. But you think about those who have been aborted. Can I tell you that wasn't God's will? Can I tell you that wasn't God's plan? It wasn't his will. It wasn't his plan. His will and his plan for that person, I promise you, wasn't that. So you think about what this person could have or would have been able to do had they been born. And you look at the Creator and writing things out. I mean, it's something how man has been given so much accountability, responsibility, but they don't even know how to handle it. It's so misused. And then tried to be explained away. Well, the thing about it is, one day, every single one of us are going to face the Lord and we're going to give account. I think sometimes people might dip their toe in the water a little bit, so to speak, and on doing things maybe they ain't supposed to do. And if they don't get caught, they think, well, it's okay. Well, this is okay. I tried this and I didn't die. It's okay. Well, living in the grace age, God gives us grace, but there is a day coming. It's a payday. It's an accountable day. If God killed every single one of us instantly when we sinned, there would be nobody here. He's merciful, far merciful than what we would be, but he's so merciful to us. We see in Jeremiah, you just look and see what it says here. It says, Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. So see, God goes back to even before birth. Remember, we were talking about creation and creating things and how usually if a creator or person is going to make something, they make something because it's going to perform a certain use for them, be a tool or a certain use. See, I see that here. I absolutely see that here. God has a plan for every single one of us before we even get to this place. So you imagine how that looks in the eyes of God. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I had a plan before you even got that far. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, this is Jeremiah. You think about some powerful words coming from the Lord to someone, a young man who was surrendering to his call. And again, you remember Jeremiah, he went through a lot. He's a weeping prophet. We's in Lamentations. It's okay not to be okay. We's in Lamentations. I believe it was on Sunday. But you think about Jeremiah. He had a heart. He had a heart for the nation of Israel. He wept over the nation. He had feelings over the nation. And when he started out as a young man, you know what he said? Nobody's going to listen to me. Nobody's going to listen to me because I'm a young person. They're going to say, you're too young. You don't know what you're talking about. The Lord said not to say that. Don't say that you're just a child. I'll give you the words to say. I'll give you those things to say. I'll tell you, and it got to a point where he wanted to quit preaching altogether. He wanted to quit prophesying altogether. It gets like that sometimes. You know, I mean, let's just be honest about things. Sometimes things get hard, and sometimes it's like, hey, Lord, I'm not quitting on you, but am I really making a difference? Am I helping? Am I hurting? And you know, Jeremiah got to the point and said, I quit. And then there's a little fire. Brother Allen, it got burning down in his heart, and he said, but I can't help but preach his name. I can't help but speak his name. I thank God for his reassurance. I thank the Lord for his Holy Spirit and his reassurance when he comes along and helps us. He's got a plan for you today. If you're having a hard time, just hang in there. Hang in there. Just like it was said, it's okay to not be okay. Hang in there. There's a better day coming. Luke 1:44, it says here, now we're getting into the New Testament. It says, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salvation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. You know, we talk about that a lot at Christmas time. You think about Elizabeth and Mary, and they're talking and everything, and John the Baptist was there in the womb. And then when Mary came and made the announcement about Jesus, what did John do? He leaped in the womb. Dead man don't leap, does he, Brother Patrick? Live man does. Can. Amen. That's, you know, you can say what you want to medically, in biology, what have you, you know, science and all that kind of stuff. I'll just take what the Word of God says. And I want to encourage you to do the same. I really do. Number one, know what it says. Number two, stand on what it says. I think that's a great problem that we're facing a lot of times today is people don't know what it says. They take what the man up here is saying and just going with it. You need to know yourself what the Word of God says. I want to share this with you. I've been doing a lot of study this week and talking to some of my preacher friends and just looking at some things. You know, just because somebody says they're called to preach don't mean they're called to preach, that they're called of God. There's a lot of self-proclamation that is leading people the wrong way. I want you to know that. That's a dangerous thing. Sometimes people just say, you know, I'm called to preach, and everybody gets all excited and what have you there. But you know what? I'll tell you this. There will be some fruit if that is the case. Just like in the matter of, I'm going off on all kinds of things, but just the matter of deacons and what have you, what do you do with the deacon? When somebody says, I feel like the Lord may be calling me to be a deacon, well, hop in, let's do this. We'll ordain you right now. We don't do that, do we, Brother Patrick? There's a setting aside. There's a time period. There's an observation period. Is this, and this is important. You know, here's the thing. Somebody can miss it, and that's okay. You know, sometimes you might misread what the Lord is saying and what he's doing, and maybe he was calling you for this or just trying to get your attention for another purpose. It doesn't always have to be that. It takes time to search that thing out. Just be careful. I just want to tell you, be careful. Be careful. There's a lot of self-proclamation going on that's just, it's not panning out. But again, we'll see this here. We're talking about how he leaped in the womb when he heard this. I know I'm kind of all over the place, but that's just how the Lord laid on my heart. I didn't get to preach Sunday. I'll just be honest. Sunday night, Brandy wasn't at home. I was by myself, and I was like, Cookie's asleep. I didn't want to wake her up. I was about ready to preach. I'll just be honest with you. You know, and then we got another missionary coming Sunday, Lord willing. So, I don't know. I thank God for the unction. I thank God for the desire. I thank God for that. Now, again, we're talking about abortion. Stay on topic. And what's talking about, I got a better ending than a better beginning, Lord willing. But again, talking about this here, being in law enforcement, this is what I do. But one of the things that they would always say is go to the book. When you're in court, they'd say go to the book. The book of elements, criminal elements, you had the federal law and you had state law. And it was a little, I think when I first started, it was a black and red book. And then they had the next edition because things change, elements change, and things are updated. The next one I think was a blue one. That was one of the first things I would buy as a criminal investigator. I wanted to know this stuff. I didn't want to have to dig around and try to hunt and stuff. But then you had kind of the same books that you would go to and the same charges that you'd normally make, and you got used to it. But now, talking about abortion, I want you to compare that to this definition. This is what the law says. It's a general statute, 1417A. I know it's all law legal right here, but it's a Class A felony. That's the highest felony. That's the highest charge you can get. It's the worst thing that you can be charged for. And it says, killings that are willful, deliberate, and premeditated, that means planned ahead, also includes killings done with poison, torture, or weapon of mass destruction. That's what the law says is murder. You know, it's pretty plain. You know, one of the first questions we did get asked when being interviewed in law enforcement is, how do you feel about using deadly force? Now, there's some gung-ho people there. They always wanted, looking for a fight, it seemed like. Some of those folks, I wasn't that way. If I could de-escalate by talking somebody out of a situation, that's what I tried to do. But my response to that question is, if it ever come to that point, I hope I would be in a position to do that before they got me. That was Brother Ben. I mean, honestly. My fear, honestly, I'm just being honest. I thought through this, and because, you know, you had to, and being on some standoffs, and you hear bullets flying sometimes. It wasn't frequent, but sometimes it makes you think. And I remembered thinking, I'm like, you know, if it was somebody just me one-on-one, I might hesitate a little bit to give them a chance. Say, are you really going to do this? I mean, but If somebody had a gun on one of my buddies, I don't think I'd have hesitated. I don't know. For whatever reason, I don't think it would have been as hard. I'll tell you, muscle memory and things, I mean, it does come into play. There's times, you know, you do have it pulled out, your gun pulled out before and ready to go sometimes, but it's something to think about. But you're talking about murder, making a comparison between murder and abortion. But I dug back a little bit further because in thinking about this with abortion and thinking about our children, you know, killing of infants has been something that's gone on for generations, generations, and generations. Not just what you see in our day and time, but you go back into the Old Testament, you look at Leviticus. Did you know, talking about law, I want to read this, and I'll explain a little bit. But Leviticus chapter 20, verses 2 through 5, make sure I'm in the right place here. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed to Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him and commit whoredom with Molech from among their people." God had to put it in the law that you couldn't kill infants. That's what he's saying here. You're saying, what? What? So when you go back in the Old Testament, there's a lot of people that were barren. And I tried to look. There's a lot on this. And I tell you, it's kind of spooky. It's scarier than any movie that you would watch today, because this is something that really happened. You had people who were literally taking their children and offering them as a sacrifice to Molech. So what's Molech? What's that look like? We've heard of Baal. Molech, I mean, this is some wicked stuff. The Bible exposes a lot of things. So they had this statue and it had arms. I don't know exactly what it looked like. You see drawings and everything, but it says the arms were out like this. It was kind of like to receive, I guess you'd say. The hands were held out like this. And the underneath of this is called an altar. It's called a statue. I believe it was a bronze, I believe. But what they would do, they had a place on the bottom side to put a fire in, and they'd just heat that thing up. And they'd burn it up. They had all that just really going. Well, those hands would glow red hot. You know what they do with their babies? Put them on there. Offer them as sacrifices. I'm like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And these priests, and it's not in the Bible that I know of, because I watched several different videos, read several different things, and they're very consistent in what they were saying, but it also, I did see where it said that while this is not in the Bible, it said history states this, that you'd have the monks and these people banging on the drums, causing all this loud ruckus and music and noise and everything, so it drowned out the children screaming as they were putting them on the fire. That's just, you can't make no right out of that. I mean, it's just wicked, it's just evil. I'll say this, and this obviously isn't in the Bible, but I've read it. You know, they say, when I say they, I've read it online, these things that I've seen placed on campus, different things, when they would come and talk to you, one of the first things that they do during an abortion is they go in and they cut the vocal cords of the children so they don't scream when they start tearing them apart in the womb. It's bad stuff, ain't it? Just something to think about. I'm going to look at Psalms 127 for just a second. I'm going somewhere and I'm getting ready to close. But you think about how precious children are. You know, children are a gift from God. And I had a buddy I worked with in law enforcement. He's well retired now and moved on. He's left the area, but one of the sweetest men you'd ever you'd ever meet. He and his wife both. They love dogs, so they're good people. I'll tell you that. You know, but here's the thing: they couldn't have kids, so they treated their little doggies, I mean, like children. That was their children. But he told me, he said he used to work at Lowe's, and we'd get in the car, and he'd quote scripture with me, and he'd just, Brother Finley, kind of like you, he'd kind of quote the scripture out, you know, and things. Had a good time riding around with him sometimes, going over the county. But he said, you know, he said, I wanted children so bad. He said it was so hard that when I would see a dad and his son come in Lowe's, he said, I just have to go to the bathroom and cry. This just break my heart. We wanted children so bad and couldn't have it, you know. But, you know, he did a lot of work with grandfather home and what have you. He's a good fella, honestly, a good fella. I remember him talking about that. It makes me think about people who can't have children and want to have children, but yet how good they are to children, how it's a heritage. That's what I was going to read here. Psalms 127, it said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth, so he giveth his blood sleep. Look at these last verses. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty, so are children of the youth. So are the children of youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You see, it's a heritage. I mean, children are a reward. But I just want to go back, and it kind of leads into that. I just want to go back to this, and I'm getting ready to close. But I was thinking about what kind of parent would place their child, just like we were saying, place their child in an altar like that. What kind of parent would do that? Now, you see the wickedness and the evilness of that, and you go back, and what did God ask Abraham to do? Same thing. To kill his only son. You know, you look at it that way, that was one of the first things that came up when I started looking at this study. But like with God, there's a but in there. There's a but in there. So when Isaac, or when Abraham drew back to kill Isaac, what happened? There's a substitute. Well, you go and look. And I was reading over this today, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. What kind of father would offer his only child as a sacrifice? God did that. You think about how sad it would be, how hard it would be, how sad it would be to lay a child in a fire like that. Now you think about Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, on the cross, the worst death that could ever happen. Think about that sacrifice. You think about love, I tell you, it's kind of flipping things around here. Here's the thing. Jesus laid his life down. He wasn't murdered. There is a difference. You see the importance of it? You see that? You see what Jesus, despising the shame, enduring the cross, because he could see past it. You see, every single one of us, you think about children. You know, given that example, if you've accepted Christ, he has given you the power to become the Son of God. We are a heritage of God. Remember we're talking about being a blessing? You and I are adopted. If you've accepted Christ, we're adopted into the family of God. We're one of his sons. We're one of his daughters. I tell you, you can take a lesson, you can take a topic, and you can look at a few verses, but it probably won't take you long to see how that'll plug into a different part of the bigger picture, what the Word of God is teaching. I'm going to stop there. That's kind of what the Lord laid on my heart. I know that that's some hard scripture and some things to talk about. But I wonder if somebody has anything they'd like to say or add tonight. I always enjoy hearing.